Keegan Mathison live from the Dome out of the J's and O's tonight. Big game for Alek Manoah. Big game for the team as a whole. Good afternoon, Keegan. What's going on?
Happy to be here, guys. I missed the roommate talk earlier. And what
right.
I think we need to do is a Craigslist ad, maybe a Kijiji ad. Let's keep this as sketchy as we can. And let's interview some candidates on the air.
That's a brilliant idea.
That's what we're going to do.
Keegan, figuring out our content.
Your talents are misused at MLB.com, Keegan. You need to be in a matchmaking service for real estate prospectors. I think that's only natural.
I agree.
Let's talk about John Schneider, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. Just spoke to the media. I know you were there. I know he had some comments about Yusei Kikuchi. What can you tell us?
So with Kikuchi, Schneider and the Blue Jays continue to say that everything is on the table, which is typically not a vote of confidence. When things are on the table, that's not good if you're the person being spoken about. So with Kikuchi, the other way that I think the Blue Jays are tipping their hand or winking towards the truth here is that Schneider says that, you know, the word to describe where they're at right now is urgency. And he spoke about that after the game last night, because if this is April, who cares? You keep rolling him out there. You give him 5, 10, 20 starts. But he's had 5, 10, 20 starts at this point. This is a playoff race that really looks like it's going to be decided by a game. And whether it's about getting in or out or seeding in the playoffs, which is really important in that first wild card round, probably going to be a game or two. And how many more Yusei Kikuchi starts can you deal with? I mean, how many more can I deal with is another grander question, really. Yeah. But it really has just sucked the air out of the stadium. Nothing takes the air out of a game quicker than that long first inning with a run scoring, some walks, and your offense is immediately playing from behind. So the big question from that is what you do next with him. If you move Mitch White in, does Kikuchi fit in the bullpen? How does he immediately figure it out there? We'll see. But the Blue Jays are definitely exploring that option. And I think as an organization realize that patience is something for April and May, but not August.
Keegan, how shocked would you be if Kikuchi never made another start for the Blue Jays?
I'd still be pretty shocked long term if it were never another start. And I think the elephant in the room here, guys, is that if this was a one-year, $1 million deal, we've long stopped having this conversation.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
This decision was made a while ago. Contracts matter in any sport. We all know that. But Kikuchi, of course, will be given that opportunity next year, maybe the year after. His next 2 years are $10 million salary each. Even if you have that in the bullpen, you know, that's something that can work or at least, you know, can help you plug your nose and deal with it. But Kikuchi, I think, will long-term be given those opportunities. But right now, even having Mitch White, and let's not say that Mitch White is an ace or a savior here, but his ability to go out and give you at least four, ideally five and two-thirds, innings and not lose the game is really appealing. You're talking about a number five starter here, and it's amazing to look back. You know, I think the Hyunjin Ryu injury stings a little more in hindsight, and frankly, without Ross Stripling saving that rotation spot, this is a complete mess. But right now, you just need a number five who gives you a chance. They don't have to win the game. They just have to not lose it, and I don't think Kikuchi has fulfilled that a lot of times.
Doesn't it kind of speak to how troublesome this rotation has been when you're looking at Mitch White and Ross Stripling and saying, oh, thank God we have those two that we can roll out twice every five starts?
It's amazing, and it makes me realize, guys, you know, next spring, remind me, why am I bothering previewing a season? And this is something that I was off on back in February and March. Their upper minors depth. Now, at the time, there were Thomas Hatch, Anthony Kay, Bowden Francis, a prospect. Ross Stripling was still that number six at that point, and it looked like Yusei Kikuchi would be at least that okay number five. We've even seen other guys come up through the year. Max Castillo was another one. But nobody has really stuck, and I think we are seeing the value of having a guy that's there and ready. Now, a lot of times you prepare well, and the Blue Jays looked like they had 7, 8, 9 deep, and it doesn't work out. You know, Thomas Hatch being a great example. When he came up a few weeks back and got absolutely rocked, Thomas Hatch is a pitcher I like. I still think he has a future, but it hasn't worked out. And you really get exposed quickly because baseball, in the very simplest terms, is a sport where you take turns. So no matter what, your weakness will be exposed. It's not something you can hide with schemes. It's going to get exposed.
Our guest is Keegan Matheson, who covers the Toronto Blue Jays for MLB.com. Some surprising news, at least maybe unexpected, might be the best way to term it, Keegan. The lineup released about an hour ago, Bo Bichette hitting seventh. That is the lowest he has hit in the lineup in his major league career. What do you take away from that?
Yeah, big change. I think he only has one career game, even hitting six. So this is a big change for Bichette. Now, when you have the name involved, it's a little surprising. Take the name away, and you are looking at a 300 on-base percentage, a 730 OPS, lots of strikeouts involved there. That's where this bat goes in a lineup. That's where those numbers go in a major league lineup. And I think this is another example of that urgency that we talked about earlier. Now, early in the season, you know who Bichette is. He's an all-star caliber player. And frankly, guys, down in spring training, I thought Bichette was due for a monster season. Like, absolutely massive. He looked incredible. Coaches were raving about him. Everything looked incredible. And it hasn't worked. It just has not. And he's a guy who can be adjusted to by opposing pitchers because he's so aggressive at the plate. A veteran pitcher can find a hole in that. But he's been working at it. There's nobody who spends more time at this ballpark, I promise you, than Bo Bichette. But the numbers aren't there right now. So this is one of those moves where it's not always about, you know, big-brained analytics. Sometimes it's just, hey, let's shake this up, give a guy a different look, see if something shakes loose and works. I like the move. I think it's the right time for the move. And thankfully for the Blue Jays, a guy like Matt Chapman or Gurriel can move up who have been hitting well. So I think this makes a lot of sense.
Keegan, Alek Manoah goes tonight against the O's, a big game. They're only up by a game and a half now, so want to really try and get that victory to stretch that up to 2.5. But he hasn't looked as dominant as he was earlier this year, his last few starts. What's kind of been different about him of late than he was earlier in the season? Is it just workload catching up to him, or are you seeing something different here?
Yes, speaking of why do I preview things, big game against the Orioles in mid-August. This is amazing. But Manoah for 4 months, you know, up until very recently, was as consistent as you can get. You know, for the most part, I could write my story before the game began. It would be seven innings, six or seven strikeouts, maybe one run allowed, and a win. You know, Manoah is a winner. He sets his team up so well to win. Part of this is just natural fluctuation, which he avoided brilliantly all season, as well as any pitcher in baseball. But at this point, you also do have to start talking about workload. Now, he is built for it. You know, he is a massive individual. He is both taller and wider than me, which I don't really run into much in Major League Baseball, but this is a massive guy, built for innings. But he's a young guy, and when you deal with that pandemic season, which screwed up every pitcher in pro baseball, looking down the line, I know it's been a while, but that's still a factor here. So we'll see how that holds up. I think some off days are going to help these pitchers, but it's one to watch today with Manoah. Not exactly one where you can just type in what he's going to do immediately, but the Blue Jays need him. You know, they need him and Gausman to be winning almost every start, given the rest of this rotation.
Since the early July, Baltimore has been the best team in the AL East, and it's not even really close. Like, do you expect this to continue as the season winds down, or do you think we get to a point where Baltimore fizzles out because they have the Jays' number, they have everyone's number right now, and they are right on the Jays' tail when it comes to that last wild card spot?
It's amazing, guys, and I think it's good to compare them and the Blue Jays. Right now, the Blue Jays are playing far lesser than the sum of their parts. You look at the names and you think this team should be running away. They're not. Then you look at a team like Baltimore, and we've said this over the years against the Rays at times too, or about the Rays, sorry, is that the names don't look like they add up to much, but they do. It's about how the team plays together. It's about the style. And what has working is a good bullpen. You know, they traded away their closer, and then there's some other guy throwing 101. That's what younger teams are starting to show around the league. That's an area the Blue Jays are kind of lagging behind. But I think you have to give them credit. It's not going to last at this rate, but I also don't think you can dismiss them because it's just the Orioles. These are not the same old Orioles. There are young players coming up and contributing. You've got the veterans like the Mullins. Ryan Mountcastle plays out of his mind every time he comes here. I don't understand it, but he does. It's an interesting team, and frankly, I think it's one of the best stories in baseball. I know a Blue Jays fan won't agree, and I get that, but this division is a mess, and I think the Orioles are going to be a pretty fun team this offseason, too. Their payroll is $10 right now. They can go out and spend, and they have a lot of young talent, maybe the best farm system in baseball. They're scary, and it's happening a lot quicker than I expected, that's for sure.
Yeah, Keegan, really quickly, you mentioned that they got an arm out there that can toss you 101. Jays don't, but there is Nate Pearson, who's been injured all season long. Is there any update there on whether or not he might be able to factor into this bullpen down the stretch here?
Pearson will throw a bullpen tomorrow down in Dunedin. Now, the dream at one point was to get him back in that 2-3-inning bulk role. At this point, if you can just get him back throwing, you're happy. You know, they need that velocity. So him and Yosser Zulueta, the other right-hander, are a couple of possibilities at velocity. But that's one spot where the Blue Jays tend to top out at 96, 97. And then every time I turn on my TV, I see three digits. And I say, what is that? But it's an area I think the Blue Jays are going to need to improve on. And they're seeing that from the farm system, doing a great job in the farm system developing that. Just going to take a little more time. But those are two names that could come.
It's a big one tonight down at the Dome, Keegan. You'll be covering it for MLB.com. Thank you for taking the time tonight. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right, Keegan Mathison, MLB.com.